Phyllis, Danny's wife and Max's sister, at this moment lies at the point of death in Dr. Benson's clinic. When Benson said her only chance was a medicine which had to be gotten from Chicago, help came from an unexpected source. Cheney, Max's partner in the gambling racket. Cheney, the gangster, suddenly turned good Samaritan, climbed in his plane, took off from a small pasture in a fog-filled night to get the medicine. That was at 3 o'clock this morning. At 4:30, the Chicago airport phoned the clinic to report Cheney had the serum and was on his way back, but that the weather was getting thicker by the minute. Max and Dr. John rushed to the pasture to set up arc lamps to light Cheney's way in, but the lamps failed to penetrate the fog, and Cheney's plane, lost in the fog, roared over their heads and faded away into the east. What they don't know is that a few minutes later, Cheney's motor failed. That was an hour ago, and nothing has been seen or heard of Cheney since. Now, back at the clinic, Mary, Max, and Daddy Stratford wait for Dr. Benson's latest report on Phyllis's condition. Suddenly, the door opens, and all eyes are on John Benson. Max breaks the ominous silence by saying,
"Well, Doc, what's the verdict?"
"Cheney should have gotten here."
"Is it too late to help, Phyllis?"
"I'm afraid it will be."
"You reckon we ought to wake up Danny, John?"
"He looks very weak, but he may rally once more. Guess we better wake him, Daddy."
"Well, I guess that's my job, then."
"John, isn't there anything else you can do?"
"Well, I've done everything I know." "Well,
for goodness sakes, it's holy motors.
Where's Daddy?"
"Jim!
Oh, that bugs you. What you want?"
"He's fainted.
Sure.
He's hurt.
Well, if I don't mind, the state's got to run to me
with you." "Yeah, I'll take care of him, Mary. Get busy, Doc. Get that serum and go to work fast. Here it is. Take it and run. Beat it."
Come on, Penny.
Where am I? He slugged me with that blackjack. I'll get them if it's the last thing. Hospital? Ow! My arm. It's my shooting arm. Why, the dirty rat kicked me in. Who done it? Hey, somebody!
Why, Mr. Penny, what an unruly thing you are.
What are you doing here, Mrs. Sanders?
Dr. Benson's two nurses are on duty with Phyllis, so I took over the job looking after you.
Well, what's the matter with me?
Well, you were shaken up quite a bit by your plane accident.
Plane accident? Oh, that's how my arm come all to be done up in white. Yeah, remember now.
Well, it's not very serious. Just you.
Yeah, I get you now. How's Danny's little lady? Doc turned the trick with that serum I got for him?
He doesn't know yet whether she'll come through, but it's been 4 hours, and she wouldn't have lasted that long without the serum.
Hey, listen, if the doc don't do his part after I've done mine,
I... heard the serum. That's his part. Yes, for your part in getting Phyllis one chance for life. Well, I don't know just how to tell you how I feel about that, Mr. Cheney. But maybe you can guess what
4 hours, you said, huh? I've been here 4 hours?
Dr. Benson gave you an injection to make you sleep. You seem to have used it up sooner than I expected.
4 hours? He ain't got any business taking 4 hours out of a busy man's life.
Oh, well, so you decided to quit taking her, pal.
What's the idea of letting a doc put the needle on me, Max?
Oh, the pillover's got some crazy notion that people ought to rest after airplane accidents.
Max, Mr. Cheney's injured and shaken up, and John and I both think he should stay in bed a while.
Make a scram, Max, and give me my britches and stuff.
All right. Outside, Mary. Cheney and I got work to do. We got to get at it.
Max.
Huh?
Max, you're not going back to the hotel.
Sure, why not?
But Phyllis isn't out of danger. John doesn't know yet how things are going to be with her. And I think the place is here with your sister.
You've heard what Danny said. He said it was all my fault. He blames me for Phyllis having all this trouble because she worried about me. Well, maybe he was right.
Max, there's something on your mind. You don't want to act this way. I know it. Something's forcing you. What is it, Max?
Cheney wants to dress, Mary.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go. Is there anything I can do for you, Mr. Cheney, before I go?
No. No, thank you, ma'am.
Well, I better help you to your harness, pal. You can't operate very well with one wing. Hey, your stuff's in this closet. socks, shoes, and pants. Hey, where's your underwear?
Well, you took it off. What did you do with it?
Well, I didn't snatch it. It's too glamorous for me. Oh, here it is in your hat.
My hat?
Yeah, in your hat. Hey, I don't see your top shirt, but it was kind of torn and bloody anyway, so well, I'll be...
Now what?
Hey, here it is. All washed and ironed and mended. Oh, I guess Mary didn't.
Yes, let me see it. Oh, now, what did she go to that trouble for a mug like me?
Well, she's funny like me. Well, come on. Come on, over the side. Over the side. Oh, before I forget it, thanks, pal, for running that errand for my sick. Now, come on, find any of these baby blue shorts.
You ain't kidding nobody, Max.
Huh?
What are you doing this to Mary for?
What are you talking about?
Well, a guy don't slap a dame like that in the face because he hates it. He does sometime, and I tell her hate him. That's a gag, Max.
I told you once to leave Mary out of our conversation, right? Gambling's our business.
Yeah, but she's tied in with it somehow, so I ain't leaving her out until I get something settled.
What do you mean, settled?
Yeah, you love that gal, but that ain't the point with me now. The point with me is that she's nuts about you. Which, of course, only goes to prove that love's just like a butterfly. It's just as apt to light on a stinkweed as a rose. I don't get burned up about it. Well, we both know you ain't the biggest bargain that's floating around for that kind of thing. Yeah, but she loves you. She wants you gone playing tiddlywinks with me. Being the swell dame that she is, I'm telling you to kiss the racket goodbye. Scram back to the best break you'll ever get in your life. What's the joke?
Well, a woman washes and mends your drillies and you're ready to do backflip for it.
Why, you...
Now, don't say it. Don't say it.
Oh, if I had your chance with a gal like
that... Yeah, you'd do just what I'm doing. If you took the chance and then found out that you was a heel for doing it.
I don't get you. Well, hang that sort of...
Yeah. Now, listen, Kenny. You and me, we're peas shook out of the same pot.
How do you mean?
Now, you don't hold a copyright on a tough background. I got one, too, you.
Well, I never figured you for no debutante. Now, what do you got behind you?
I'm just a bottle of milk that went sour. Leave it at that, huh?
Whatever you say.
I come to this town just like you did, to take something out of it, the easy way. I got myself in an accident, too. Not a plane crack up like yours, but I got hurt. And Mary happened to be around. She didn't mend the shirt for me, but she washed my mouth out with soap. And right away, I tossed her my heart. She took it. But she never could wash it. And she'd keep on trying, too, until she'd snapped her own heart if I'd let her. But I'm not going to let her.
Go on.
I might not be your branch of the rat family, pal, but I'm a paid-up member of an outstanding branch just the same. And rats don't belong in Mary's house. Sure, I hooked up with you to give her an out on me. So I'll put it up to you, Cousin Rat.
What do you mean?
Am I going to slap her in the teeth now, like you said, and make it easy for her to get me out of her system? Or am I going back to her and make it tough on her for the rest of her life?
Well, Mac, we know now why Reverend Blaine insisted that Mary keep her faith in you, despite what you were doing to her. We're sorry you made him promise to keep your secret, for you've proven to us that her faith in your fundamental goodness is justified, and we believe she's entitled to know it.